Welcome to the Messianic Media Podcast, a discussion of Messianic, Christian, and secular artistic works with David and Mark.
Happy Passover, Mark. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach. Do you know why the Easter and Passover are so separated this year?
That's a good question. I mean, they definitely wanted to have it not necessarily correlate with the Passover days or the Jewish calendars. Between March 22nd and April 25th, so I guess they got a full month range. Passover starts between March 26th. Oh, is it the same thing? March 26th and April 25th.
It's really funny this year because normally, like, well, like, this year I'm trying to do my Bible reading to, like, correspond. I started the book of Exodus, but I also, like, finished the Purim reading. And then I read some of, the Gospels, most of the Gospels, like, the earliest half. But then this year, you know, it's Easter is going to be before Passover.
I think Easter, well, it's always the Sunday following a full moon after the spring equinox.
The Sunday following a full moon after the equinox. So those happen to, like, happen quickly. Yeah, because the equinox was last week. I know that because in Japan it's a national holiday.
And sometimes Passover is the first full moon after the equinox. And sometimes it's the second full moon after the equinox. There's no push to the extra Sunday or anything.
So this year it's the second full moon?
Yeah. Originally for Passover, they said the first full moon after a harvest.
Oh.
A little arbitrary, but then they just have it on a set schedule, like where they're actually calculating the leap months in advance, as opposed to just kind of basing on the harvest. The episode today, we watched the Ten Commandments rescored. So it's the 1923, the Ten Commandments movie, but with a score that was actually performed live in 2020 and then released online in 2021. Jewish nonprofit organized the event, at least. And so it was originally released for Shavuot, which makes sense. Then they ended up releasing it online for Passover. Kind of fits both holidays. I assume that you hadn't heard of the score before I'd sent it to you.
I've only heard about it through you.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be that popular. I guess I sound like an online site reshared it. But yeah, so it's only gotten 4,000 views.
Okay, wow.
The album was Bandcamp. You know, with Bandcamp, you can't tell how popular that it is other than they had only five people buy the album.
Yeah.
And then on the Reboot website, it's the YouTube link, too. Some popular musicians, I mean, maybe not household names, but been parts of bands that I'd recognize. You're better on the recognizing musician names. Did you recognize any of the musicians?
Actually, I didn't look closely enough at the musician names, so I didn't realize they were known. Who are they?
Steven Draws, founder of Flaming Lips.
Okay.
Yeah. And then,
see the saxophone?
No, he was like the keyboards and the
keyboards
and some of the extra intimate instruments. And then I mostly played saxophone and some other stuff was in Los Lobos.
I've heard of the group, yeah. How about the drummer?
And then the drummer, that one, like, doesn't have recognizable associated stuff.
The keyboard and the drums carry most of this.
It was impressive with getting that much sound out of the three-piece band, no vocals. Well, had you also seen the original movie?
No, and I wanted to ask you if you had.
I hadn't seen the original movie, and the way this performance is, it's only the first half of the movie. However, kind of the post-text on the video explains, but it's kind of a two-part movie. This is the first part that's well-known. And then the second part of the movie is a modern day melodrama or cautionary kind of parable thing where it's kind of odd. It's so kind of bland, totally skippable. It's kind of funny, though. So the idea with the film is that almost the first half is just kind of prologue explaining the Ten Commandments. And then the second half of the movie is here's four people's lives and they keep on mentioning the Ten Commandments. The bad guy brazenly mocks the Ten Commandments and does his own stuff. It's an old lady following the law, but without grace. The woman doesn't know anything about the Ten Commandments. And then there's a good guy who's like following it justly.
There was a Polish guy who did one called Decalogues, and each episode is kind of centered on one of the commandments. You have your murder scene. You have other episodes going on. I also had an interesting idea that I never created. I wanted to make a fake TV show called the 10 o'clock news. It was like every news segment is like one of the 10 commandments being broken. Because, I mean, that's essentially like you know, half of what the news is, right? There's a lot about that. First half of the Cecil B. DeMille film, because I felt like parts of it, like they went into great detail out of the Exodus, but like the plagues felt like really rushed over. The oppression and the slavery was like well done. And even the giving of the Ten Commandments, was they went into detail. But the plagues were like completely skipped over almost.
Yeah, I was watching that and they just skipped over, like they really rushed through it. They reference it briefly, but they don't show any of the first nine plagues.
And the DeMille, is that what happened?
Yeah, that is how it is with the film, too. Yeah, it was like they had the drama and stuff, and then it like skips Moses leaving and getting called the burning bush.
Yes.
Some of the initial, like, yeah, let my people go type of stuff. Yeah.
Right, okay.
I think that it was like DeMille wanted to show the modern story, but then like the Exodus is just to get people into the building. The other one is that with half of the film being like just a kind of a low budget modern day drama, it was probably the most expensive film ever made at that time.
Okay, yeah.
That's a way they could finance it. You know, all the posters and advertising is like, see the story of the Exodus, and then they only have to make half a movie's worth.
I see.
I did like the, you know, the sets they had like kind of around Egypt. Oh, I think they used them real well. I mean, but they did keep it to like just a few sets.
Yeah, the oppression. I think the start of this with the music too. The start of this is really good, gripping. The ending I thought was actually pretty well done, but in a very disturbing sort of way. The golden calf, the Israelites rebelling, you know, worshiping, and then getting involved in like some pretty deep sin. And that, I thought that actually was quite compelling. The parting of the Red Sea, I think, was probably really cool. And it still was pretty cool. I'm curious how it works in the original film. With this one, some of the musicians, for me, were distracting. Like, sometimes they worked, and then sometimes they didn't work for me.
I generally enjoyed it all. I guess I didn't mind that it was, I think it's like kind of modern, weird, kind of jazz stuff.
The style just sometimes matched like what was happening on screen, and then sometimes, or maybe it was just because the way they put this YouTube video together, they put it like, so it's like the chariots are running away, but they're running towards like the saxophonist. Like that doesn't work. But, like maybe if they had placed the overlays at a different position, it would have been less distracting. I would have liked to have just listened to the music and watched the film.
I think some people didn't like is that they're partially covering kind of the corners of the film. And like, you don't need that in a video presentation, especially because the film is not widescreen. So you could still have like a widescreen presentation with the musicians on the side.
Like I wouldn't have minded having them on the screen for most of the time if they're off, like if they're not overlaid or if there's like a little bit of separation. That would have been actually okay. Or below or whatever, it doesn't, you know, that wouldn't have mattered as much.
I did like their aesthetic where it's like, it's all kind of a darkened room and some kind of moody. That's okay, but yeah, I would have. Some of the colorization, you know, there's stuff, the beginning of the film is actually black and white, and then there are sections where it's a single shaded color, and that's something that they added in. Like there's a yellow tint or a red tint. The Red Sea sequence was actually filmed in color. At the time, you wouldn't have been able to see it in color. They went ahead and filmed that. And then the end goes back to black and white. It's also a little weird when they're in color and then the film is black and white.
You know, I ended up watching this in a few different... I didn't sit there the whole way through just because the way my life was in the schedule. But I think like at the beginning of it, it worked really well. Most of it, I think, is okay. Like, even though it's like avant-garde jazz, I think that works pretty well as a soundtrack. And especially like when you're like, when they're expressing the idea of tension, anytime there's tension on the screen, the music, I think, like, makes it like feel heavy and like and emotional. And I think that was, I appreciated that. I'd be curious to just listen to the soundtrack. Like, I'll probably go on Bandcamp later.
It's kind of interesting, the opening title, that modern society mocks Judeo-Christian morality, and then because of World War One, like, we need to get back to the commandments or the law.
Yeah, it is interesting to see that on, like, well, now something 100 years old. Yeah, a lot of the mocking, but some of it's still there.
Yeah,
I forgot about the World War One though.
Yeah, the no stealing and no murder are definitely good rules. You can't have legally enforced the God rules.
Yeah,
I kind of agree with that. You shouldn't have the Ten Commandments in a courtroom setting. It's like an implicit endorsement of the Judeo-Christian God. The individual can choose to swear on a Bible or something like that, but I don't think it should be in a courtroom.
Right. Well, the modern plural society. God does tend to, when people honor him in society, then he definitely appreciates that. And then when they turn their back on him and or ignore him, he deals with them in other ways. So, you know, often very patiently. But like in American society, like it's definitely set up to be like a pluralistic. It's kind of a little strange in America because you have aspects of deism, right? And Judeo-Christian beliefs, but then it gets complicated. And it gets complicated when you have like certain nationalistic beliefs that are like, you know, contradictory to the scriptures too. And like people using when the state uses it. I don't recommend the film, but I watched Babylon. I actually kind of recommend not watching it. This film came out of that time period, and aspects of it, because I watched that other film, it was like, oh, that's kind of like some of the background setting for it. I haven't looked into DeMille.
Even though he is a Christian and wanted to do Christian themes, I think he was also using that as a way to get around censors to be able to show some sex and violence. I thought it was kind of funny, just as like considering how condensed the story, that they threw in a little bit of a character, which I had to look up. I never heard of Dathan the Discontented.
Who is he?
I didn't remember the name. Oh, one of the few people mentioned by name that complained against Moses in the desert. Even though he's not mentioned, he doesn't appear in Exodus. Like, they kind of throw it in as like a character that's trying to undermine Moses or like complaining. But yeah, that's all I really have on the film. They include this film as an extra on the more popular Ten Commandments film. The soundtrack available on YouTube, and then, like I said, listen on Bandcamp. I don't know if I necessarily would have listened to it without it being associated with a film. I did enjoy the soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like weird music every once in a while. Maybe I'll listen. We'll see. It's kind of like a complicated project, but I think it's interesting, and it brings attention back to the kind of the earlier film, which is like, you know, worth a discussion, or history of Hollywood. I think there are some good like filmmaking techniques that they use. Like some of the shots, I think we talked about Prince of Egypt last year or the year before, and like some of the shots, they alluded to those ones, and that it's been a long time since I've seen the Charlton Heston, but I'll probably eventually watch that again.
We're messianicmedia@gmail.com, facebook.com/messianicmedia. Hope you have a good Passover. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Thank you for listening to the Messianic Media Podcast, a discussion of Messianic, Christian, and secular artistic works.